Now back to the Men's College World Series special, live from Omaha Baseball Village, powered by Access Bank, here for a reason, and Brookside Medical on 1620 The Zone.
Connor Happer and Robbie Lula back with you from the Omaha Baseball Village, where 1620 The Zone's live hydration sponsor is Coors Light. Time for a hydration break presented by Coors Light, keeping Nebraska chill. You may not have to stay that chill today. I have 75 degrees, Robbie Lula.
Yeah, I think the high is under 80 for the projected high for the day, like 78, 79.
What a time. We've really bounced back here. This is like kind of giving me life, because usually the College World Series and the entirety of it
is unbearably hot,
yeah. Or there's like a thunderstorm mixed in there, which makes it more humid on the backside of it.
On top of unbearably hot, yeah.
We have avoided all of that.
We did have unbearably hot for a couple days.
We had unbearably hot, but then it is tapered off to the point where we may be celebrating a national championship tonight in the 70s.
In windbreakers.
Huh. I wouldn't go that far.
No, I wouldn't either. But
still shorts and a T-shirt. San Diego, the Big Ten.
I was out here on Thursday, where it was a little warmer. It was in like the mid to high 80s.
Yeah.
Still, it was really nice day for a ball game.
The humidity has just sort of disappeared.
Evaporated.
Look at this.
Love it. I'm excited.
I am too.
Great day for a ball game.
Mitch Sherman tweets out. He says, Ole Miss fans lamenting in the Baseball Village today that everything hashtag hottie toddy is sold out. Quote, you don't see a dang thing. I think they're right. It's all being worn inside the stadium.
It's true, yeah. With this many Ole Miss fans out here, I think all the stuff is gone.
Are you the guy, are you one of the guys who's going to go into the tents and peruse through all of the 50% off stuff?
So not this year. I typically only do that if a team that I've either attached myself to or like in general, or has a really cool mascot. Then I'll usually go. We didn't get any really cool mascots this year, which I was disappointed by.
No.
You know, there was no Chanticleers. There's no Raging Cajuns.
No. I wish East Carolina would have been here.
I would have bought so much Pirates gear.
Wow.
Instead, I just went over to Baseballism and got all their cool stuff.
Is that where you got your Sandlot hat?
The Sandlot has Baseballism. I also got, they have a Griffey collection,
Ken Griffey Jr. collection. Yeah. Producer Josh went over there and I think sold him out of that stuff.
Yeah, I got a Ken Griffey Jr. hat as well. Mariners Griffey is one of my favorite athletes of all time.
Has to be.
I consider that an entirely different person than Reds Griffey.
White Sox Griffey?
That doesn't even exist. It's kind of an Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader type thing. Two different people.
This just gives me a great excuse to look at Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball reference page.
Oh, I love Ken Griffey Jr. so much.
I love baseball reference pages.
Baseball reference pages are terrific. They are the originator of the sports reference pages. Baseball reference was first. I probably won't go perusing the clearance this year, but if the right teams are involved, I will.
He's somehow one of the greatest players of all time and still one of the biggest what-ifs of all time.
One of the most disappointing as well.
Yeah.
Because, honestly, after he left Seattle, it's essentially like two or three decent seasons and that's it compared to what he was before.
Yeah, so he goes to Cincinnati in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
He's an all-star there. He's an all-star two other times in his career.
And that's it.
One of them, it was sort of like a legacy all-star.
Yeah, it was a lifetime achievement award.
Which is great. We love when that happens.
I believe he only hit 40 home runs once after he left Seattle. Is that correct?
Okay. And that was in 2000 in Cincinnati.
Yep. He had a couple of high 30s after that.
He hit 35 in 05. That's a pretty good year in 05 at age 35.
He had a renaissance year in 05.
Man.
But Seattle Griffey was...
Yeah.
On another planet.
One of the coolest people to ever exist.
And even without the Cincinnati years, you still had the what-ifs because he missed two huge chunks of seasons with broken wrists from making acrobatic catches into walls.
Yep. I always like to look at the similarity scores, too, on these guys. Like one of my favorite things, just activities to do in general, is pull up like a random, you know, middle reliever from I did this with...
Pat Neshek.
There you go. Just go to Pat Neshek's page and go to the similarity scores, and it'll basically bring up a whole list of like late 90s and mid 2000s relievers who you would have never thought about again in your entire life.
Sure.
I did this with Todd Van Poppel, his son,
yes.
Riley Van Poppel, committed to Nebraska.
Sure.
So I looked at Todd Van Poppel's baseball reference page.
As I think we all did.
And it it got me so – it just got me to name like 17 guys who I would have never thought of.
Scott
again.
Williamson?
Oh, my God. I'm just going to do it right now again. Well, Danny Noonan doesn't have a baseball reference page. Otherwise, we could do it.
Unfortunately.
Again.
Unfortunately.
But we could talk, I guess, about Maverick Noonan's commitment.
Which if you want to.
Which did happen.
Sure, it did happen.
Hey, it's an in-state commitment for Nebraska.
That's quality.
That is good. And I will say this.
In a position of need. I mean, those they've had a hard time landing high-profile defensive end recruits.
There is a stark difference in how the program looks right now from the sort of outside slash recruiting perspective. Like, that seems to be rolling along pretty well.
Yeah, not bad.
It could come along, it could come to a screeching halt when the season starts, and that's where those two worlds sort of combine.
Yeah.
But the thought process from the fan base right now is really not anywhere near, I think, the perception from the recruiting world, which, like I said, it's fair to say I think Nebraska is actually pretty hot right now on the recruiting trail.
Well, I mean, we've seen this before, though, right? I mean, we saw it with Bill Callahan. He was putting together a nice class. Obviously, that season falls apart.
Oh, yeah.
Class falls apart. It's all gone, right? Kind of the same thing was happening with Mike Riley. Was putting together a nice class.
Well,
the season falls apart.
The different
class falls apart.
The different thing about it here is, I mean, they did that and have sort of been, this staff has done that and been through that cycle mm-hmm. already. And now they're doing it again for the second
Which
time.
Which is weird.
They have found a way. I mean, this is...
Well, it's the new assistants,
it's
right?
It's the new assistants.
Yeah.
They have found a way to sort of reinvigorate the program, make it feel fresh and new again. It's what happens when you go...
Hire a new coach.
It's what happens when you go sub 500 for four straight years. Like, it just gets a little bit stale. Mm-hmm. And then people from other states start jumping in and say... Hey, Oklahoma, they're looking around. Oh, look, Cade McIntyre is a pretty good player. Let's take him. Ooh. Minnesota's interested in some guys. Oregon's got guys from the state of Nebraska. Iowa, obviously. When Nebraska gets, quote-unquote, hot again on the recruiting trail, that puts a stop momentarily to all that stuff happening, which is a very good look.
To the bleeding,
yes. Yes.
There was they had to stop the bleeding after last year for sure in terms of in-state recruits. Maverick Noonan was, at least from the recruiting people that we've talked to, Maverick Noonan and Malachi Coleman
yep.
were the two big ones that they can't let get away. Obviously, they locked down Maverick Noonan with his commitment recently. Malachi Coleman's still out there. That's the big fish, though. Malachi Coleman's the... If they can lock down a Malachi Coleman commitment, that will, I think, to a lot of people, officially stop the concerns, at least for now, about in-state recruiting.
Well, it's mostly because of what it means too, right? Like I said, I mean, other programs see that guys in the walls of your state are going elsewhere.
Yeah.
They're going to Iowa, they're going to Oklahoma, they're going to Oregon. And this is regardless of not if Nebraska wants them. This never used to be a place where other teams could come in and even, you know, get a second look from a prospect.
Yeah.
And now it's happened enough where you can. It's been proven that you can. So Nebraska needs to sort of defend that territory, and they needed to do so while not having the benefit of wins and recent history in their back pocket either. So it's a difficult challenge, and I give the staff credit for you know, stepping up to the plate on a guy like Noonan and what that means. And then if they are to get, and they're the favorite for Malachi Coleman right now.
Yeah, and it's the benefit of a new coaching staff without actually having a new head coach.
Yep.
Because a new head coach kind of always gives you that recruiting bump.
Always.
Because of the energy and the enthusiasm and the excitement and the just the optimism, right? You have a lot of that with
the vision.
Assistant coaches without the, I guess, dramatic change of a new head coach. Now that, depending on how this year goes, obviously still might be coming. But
I mean, I would take it a step further. I mean, it's the same head coach. This program does feel new in a lot of different ways, and that's a good thing.
Sure.
From a recruiting standpoint, hopefully it's a good thing from a football standpoint. Ultimately, like we talked about earlier, it's still the same head guy, and you still have the same worries about him.
Sure.
But it does feel new in a lot of different ways.
You know, and it's not just the worries about the head coach, but there's also very practical worries of, even if you like Mark Whipple, even if you like our boy Donnie at the O-line coach.
Donnie, coach him up, Donnie.
Donnie, dude.
He should be from Boston.
He has to be from Boston. Come on, man. even if you like Raiola as the O-line coach, obviously everybody likes Mickey Joseph, right? But even if you like all the new pieces, there's still real concerns about, okay, can the defense replenish itself from a not only talented but also very, very experienced yep. defensive unit from last year and still perform at anywhere close to the same level? What's the situation at quarterback? Is Casey Thompson going to be healthy and ready to go? Where does Chubba Purdy fall in line there? Is anybody else even in the picture? What happens with the O-line? Maybe that's the most important question, right? Because you lose Cam Jurgens, your most talented guy. You lose Nuelli, probably your best guy left, or at least your most reliable guy left. Your best guys besides that, Teddy Prochazka, no idea how healthy he's going to be and when.
Yep.
Everybody else is a total unknown, or what you know about them isn't positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's very practical concerns. It's not just like, oh, I don't like Scott Frost type situation. There, even if you loved the head coach and you loved the new offensive assistant hires, there's real tangible questions yep. with this team that could make it go sideways.
But guess what? We're not talking about tangible stuff right now because it's June 24th or June 26th.
About excitement and energy.
We're talking about stuff that absolutely doesn't matter to the tangible product of Nebraska football as it stands in 2022. Now, does it matter from a perception standpoint? Yes.
Sure. 100%.
It fuels some of the fire in the offseason going into the year, even though like you can sort of get those two things mixed. Hey, you're hot on the recruiting trail. I don't know. Nebraska has sort of like a good vibe to it right now.
Well, and last year it was the opposite, right? People had questions about Scott Frost going into last year.
Yep.
And then on top of it, you see, oh, he's not connecting with local guys. He's not landing these guys from Omaha, the in-state recruits. The
recruiting class is basically non-existent.
There, and you go, is he? What's going on with his relationship with recruits that nobody's even interested? That they're not making even top tens for some of these guys. It became a entwined storyline with the on-field struggles, right? And this year, it's kind of the same in the sense that
in a positive
you've got positive energy, the positive voice, if you will.
Huh. Interesting.
Josh, we have a new member of the positive boys.
It's you.
No, I'm a founding member.
What? Oh, you are?
Yeah.
How did this
come up? Josh and I were being positive one day. We started the positive boys.
Oh, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, so we now.
But I'm always positive. I'm a founding member in that sense.
You're a chipper guy.
I am.
But no, don't call him chipper, though.
I like to drink some of the Kool-Aid over the summer, I'll be honest with you.
Listen,
I wouldn't mind a glass right now.
I could use some Kool-Aid. We got any Kool-Aid vendors out here?
Man, that'd be awesome if there was a Kool-Aid.
Some guy stand. Just
what?
Out
I mean,
here.
How do we not have that? This is Nebraska.
Yeah,
it's
true.
This is where Kool-Aid. There should be a Kool-Aid stand right there selling off all the different kinds of Kool-Aid. Give me a purple one.
Well, I'm a cherry guy.
Ah, gross.
Come on.
It tastes like cough syrup.
The purple tastes more like cough
no,
syrup.
No, it doesn't.
What's
it tastes delicious.
You?
Have you ever had purple Robitussin before?
Yes.
It's delicious.
Like I'm not saying it tastes bad, but you can't go cough syrup on the cherry if you're like, yeah, give me the Robitussin.
Nah, I know. I don't like cherry-flavored stuff.
Oh, that's a terrible take. Yeah. Cherry-flavored stuff is delicious.
I like cherry-flavored
not
stuff.
Not a big maraschino cherry guy?
No, as a garnish, it's fine.
As a you're not going to eat it?
I will eat it.
Like
but
without a drink.
I don't want it to taste like cherry.
Why not? Cherries are great.
Because I don't think it's good. That's it. You don't like grape stuff?
It's fine. I don't dislike grape, but I go cherry over grape.
Okay. Like, if you're making me do a red flavor, give me strawberry.
I mean, strawberry's great, too.
Strawberry's better than cherry.
I disagree there.
Raspberry's better than cherry.
Also disagree.
Grape's better than cherry.
Not true.
Green apple.
Oh, no.
Is better than cherry.
No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Flavors that are better than cherry.
You basically, just all of them. You think all of them are better than cherry.
Yeah, well, we have a top 10 list actually coming up next. Flavors that are better than cherry. Now we're here at the Omaha Baseball Village. We're just a few minutes away from the potentially beginning of the end today. Ole Miss and Oklahoma will have our final preview coming up on the other side before we get it across the street to Kevin Kugler, Scott Graham, and John Bishop here on 1620 The Zone. We'll be back from the Baseball Village next.